This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Little big timers
today. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Get your roll on.
This is Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle coming to you live from the Seaport, brought to you by Patron. Perfection starts with Patron. The Lakers had a perfect fourth quarter and double overtime last night as they came back from 19 down against the Milwaukee Bucks without LeBron James and beat the Bucks in double OT. Just a remarkable win for the Lakers last night. It is also mock draft season. Yesterday, we got the Mike Tannenbaum mock draft, which included a trade of Kyler Murray to Minnesota.
That one got the people going.
Did it ever. And today we have Matt Miller's mock draft of ESPN.com, which has New England trading with Minnesota for 11 and 23 and a 25 first round pick. And then Arizona trading with Denver. And then as a result, it gives us Minnesota taking Drake May at number 3, Denver taking J.J. McCarthy at number 4. Before we get into the teams that are trading out, let's talk about the player that seemingly is moving in, and that's J.J. McCarthy. At this point, guys, for me, I would be surprised if the Michigan quarterback was not a top 5 pick in the draft. Every mock draft is now placing him in the top 5. Teams differ, but it seems like right this second, it feels like this guy is going to be a top 5 pick.
Yeah, he's going to be a top 5 pick. Well, the part that's bizarro world for me is that he went from being 50-1 to be the second overall pick to being 3-1.
Wow.
To be the second overall
pick. To be the second overall pick. So the quarterback be taken after Caleb Williams. He is now 3-1 to be the second pick in the NFL draft. So that's ahead of Jaden Daniels. That's ahead of Drake May.
So based on that logic, me simply saying I think he's going to be a top 5 pick is no longer a bold-ish statement.
Oh, excuse me. That's the third overall pick. I'm sorry. The third overall pick.
Either way, it doesn't matter. If it's 3-1 and you're talking about the third pick, him then missing third and being drafted fourth or fifth becomes logical as a, okay, worst case scenario, he goes fourth or fifth. So now it feels like if you're going to go and make a bet, ESPN bet, as to how many quarterbacks are drafted in the top 5, you're almost not doing your due diligence if you don't just say 4. At this point, it feels like 4 in the top 5.
Yeah, when we spoke to Adam Schefter yesterday, he talked about the meteoric rise that J.J. McCarthy has had. And you know that there are a lot of quarterback-needy teams that are out there. This is a guy who was 27-1 as a starting quarterback. He's a national champion. And his head coach, who is known to be a guy who can find, develop quarterbacks, is going out saying he's the best quarterback in the draft. And I don't know if that's just to pump up his guy or maybe cause disruption in the draft so the Chargers can benefit from it in some way. But if I am a prospective team and I like what I see from the tape and Jim Harbaugh is so effusive in his praise for J.J. McCarthy, that's something I'm paying attention
to. Okay, let's go there, what you just said. So I know that Justin Herbert has a no-trade clause. If I'm the Washington Commanders, I'm starting my final run here for the draft process with a no from the Chargers. What I mean by that is I have to call the Chargers and I have to say to Jim Harbaugh and company, you love J.J. McCarthy so much, great. We'll give you number 2, you give us Justin Herbert. See if he'd be interested in it. They'd say no, but I have to start. If Harbaugh is going to tell me this guy's the best quarterback in the draft, prove it. You're giving me a look.
Yeah, I don't understand why you would go with a guy that's a question mark at the next level versus a proven commodity.
Because of the fact that Harbaugh is in love with this guy so much, let me just make sure.
Yeah, but he took the job with the Chargers because he has the opportunity to coach Justin Herbert. So he might be in love with J.J. McCarthy and his experience that he's had with him in Michigan the last couple of years, but that doesn't mean that he's the same caliber of quarterback as Justin Herbert.
And sure, he has been in love with Justin Herbert from afar for many years. Greeny told us they were talking about him at a funeral.
Yeah. Right. Understood. I'm just saying,
it would have to be more than just the second overall pick, or the third.
But it doesn't hurt me from calling.
I would ask, but
hey,
I would
Jim,
expect
you love
to know.
This guy. Just want to make sure, do you love him enough to give us Herbert and get that out of your way? Because we'll take Herbert on if you're not interested. Yeah. I'm just saying.
I'm just looking at the odds on for the number 2 overall pick. The odds on favorite is Jaden Daniels, followed by Drake May at plus 150, and then J.J. McCarthy at plus 300. So 3-1. 3-1 to be the second overall pick. I just didn't know where we got to this place. I thought the evaluation after the college football season ended was, okay, there are 3 quarterbacks that are grouped together elite prospects at the position. That was Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, and Drake May. And now, based on the odds in Vegas, they are telling us that they clearly believe that these teams and these scouts are valuing 4 quarterbacks as elite prospects at the top of this year's draft. I did not see that coming. I thought there was a clear mark of delineation that happened after Williams, May, and Daniels. Mm-hmm. It's clear now that the Vegas doesn't see it that way, and I think it'd be interesting to see whether or not the NFL teams view it that way once we get to late April.
So at this point, do you feel it's fact what I'm about to say? J.J. McCarthy could go as high as 2, but only as low as 6.
I don't think he's going outside of the top 5.
I don't either.
Yeah.
But so as
here's the crazy thing. For all of the teams in the top 10 that don't need a quarterback or that are settled on their quarterback that's the incumbent going into 2024, they're in a great spot because all of those position players get pushed down. With the quarterbacks moving up, guys, teams trying to angle, the Minnesota Vikings trying to get up, Denver Broncos trying to get up, the New York Giants trying to get up. With all of these teams that are trying to move up into the top 5, that is going to push really good position players down to them. So if you're looking at it at the Los Angeles Chargers and you're thinking to yourself, hey, we've got our quarterback in Justin Herbert, but we've got needs at wide receiver, we've got needs at offensive line. Well, guess what? You're going to have your pick of the best offensive lineman, which is Joe Alt, or the best wide receiver, which is Marvin Harrison Jr. or Malik Nabers. You're going to have your pick of those guys.
So does that make you want to trade down if you're the Chargers? You have multiple guys. You have your coach for the next 5 to 10 years in your mind. You have your quarterback for the next 5 to 10 years. I've been saying all along, you guys know I've said that I think they need to operate as if they're already good, even though they're not, because of the fact they have the two things that are hardest to find, the coach and the quarterback. If they have that many options, would you trade down if you're the Chargers?
No, I don't know if it's about the Chargers trading down because the team that would be moving up doesn't have a guaranteed lock to get one of those four quarterbacks. So I think the teams that are interesting to watch trade down are the two teams that Matt Miller highlights in his mock draft, and that would be the the New England Patriots and the Arizona Cardinals. Now, what makes the Patriots fascinating is that is really like the pivot point where you have still a choice of one of the top four quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. So if you move to number 3, you're going to have your choice of either Jaden Daniels, Drake May, and J.J. McCarthy. And to me, that would be very appealing for a quarterback-needy team.
Oh, yes.
So, I mean, the New England Patriots are an interesting test case with this whole scenario because they are in the catbird seat. This is a team that has a lot of needs on both the offensive side of the ball, defensive side of the ball. It's a new regime with Elliott Wolf and Jerod Mayo. So, I mean, I think this is absolutely fascinating in terms of what they do. And they've already let it be known that they're open for business. Now, I mean, Marty Austin-Fort, the GM for the Arizona Cardinals, he said that last week. But the Patriots coming out and saying that at the owners' meeting and getting it from Robert Kraft himself, I mean, that does undercut a little bit of the leverage that Arizona has. Mm-hmm. Because guess what? Now teams know that they have the possibility of moving up to 3 and they don't have to settle for just moving up to 4.
Let's hear Robert Kraft yesterday at the owners' meetings discussing number 3 with New England.
We've never been in the third draft position since we've owned the team. And what happens, a lot of people behind are really desperate to move up. And so we're going to be open to whatever can come our way. But in the end, I'll let the team make the decision what they think is best. One way or another, I'd like us to see us get a top-rate young quarterback.
Well, you're only going to do that if now you have the top 4 picks. Because yes. If we're saying there's a gap between the top 4 and potentially Bo Nix and Michael Penix Jr., you can't guarantee that. By the way, the other part of this that's interesting is if Minnesota or Denver or the Raiders or one of these teams that wants a QB misses out on the top 4, does that mean Bo Nix and Michael Penix Jr. go higher because they try to trade up to guarantee themselves those guys?
Perhaps.
I mean, that becomes a possibility. That, dare I ask, could we get 5 in the top 10?
No. No.
You sure about that?
I'm pretty sure that's not going to happen. I mean, that would be unprecedented. We would have. I don't know that that's ever happened in the NFL draft.
But we already have McCarthy moving up to a place that we didn't think he would get to.
Yeah.
And as a result, if you look at it and you say, let's just play this out for a second. Let's say that in this scenario, the Giants are the team that moves up.
Yeah.
From 6, okay, to either 4 or 3. Let's say 4, actually. It works better with 4. The Giants move up. So now 1, 2, 3, 4 becomes quarterbacks. It's not hard to envision J.J. McCarthy in a Giants uniform.
No.
I think he currently is wearing one. He feels like he was birthed in a Giants uniform.
Yeah, blue blazer, went to Michigan, all of the things. Yeah. He checks every single box.
Yeah.
Okay.
Every single box.
He'd be great on a billboard outside MetLife,
no
right?
Doubt.
So now if you're Minnesota and you're Denver, right, what are you going to do here? You're just going to wait for these guys to drop to you? Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. Like, that's the thing. I do wonder if there is somehow a chance that maybe, possibly, there's five in the top 10. Actually, the better example, now that I think about it, is Minnesota trading up and the Giants sitting there at six, and the Giants saying, well, we still need a quarterback. We like Bo Nix. I know that would drive you crazy.
No, and I don't think Nuno would be on board with that either. As people that root for the New York Giants, I don't think that's going to happen.
I'm just saying, I don't think you can write off the idea of five in the top 10 if we're getting four in the top four.
You might not be able to write it off because teams are always desperate. There are never enough quality quarterbacks to go around. But at the same time, I'm not going to sit here and say that there are five quarterbacks that have grades that are worthy of being top 10 draft selections. I don't think that's
the case.
But
you don't think
either.
There's four that have the top four, right? You think McCarthy is a bigger drop-off.
No, I do. I think there's a clear line of demarcation, which makes it feel like J.J. McCarthy is a bit of a media creation. And now maybe there's the Jim Harbaugh buzz to go along with it and him saying that he's the best quarterback in the draft. You couple the fact that this guy is 27-1 as a starter at Michigan, mm-hmm. and his only loss was in the college football playoff mm-hmm. to TCU. And in that game, he threw for over 300 yards. Like, I get that people are going to throw out all of those numbers and say, hey, this guy's a lot better than people are giving him credit for, and just because he didn't do it at Michigan doesn't mean that he can't do it. I just don't understand how you can't have – like, you could be in a situation where you don't have proof of concept that the guy can do certain things and draft him as high as people think he's going to go, which is inside of the top five. I think that is absolutely wild, but I'm also – you know, aware enough to recognize that this is probably going to happen just because there are so many teams that are desperate to get a quarterback right now.
Can I throw a theory out there to you guys?
What's up?
So we know that Jim Harbaugh does love J.J. McCarthy. Yep. That was well documented at Michigan, but he is really making it known that this guy is the best. And when we just put up Matt Miller's mock draft, because the J.J. McCarthy stock has gone up so high, we have him going at number four, and Marvin Harrison Jr. just sliding right to Jim Harbaugh and Justin Herbert, who needs a weapon, at five. Is there any scenario that exists that Jim Harbaugh knows that the more he hypes up J.J. McCarthy and gets people around the league salivating over this guy, that he might be in a great position to get the player that they ultimately want at five?
I don't know that Marvin Harrison Jr. is the player that they want at five.
I agree with you.
I don't know that that's the guy. Like, if you listen to Jim Harbaugh talk about offensive linemen, he's talking about the position group, and he said there's no other position group on a team that doesn't need anybody else on the team in order to do their job. The offensive linemen, that is the only position group where they can basically do their job without relying on other people. So him waxing poetic about offensive lines, him and how he built the San Francisco 49ers around that offensive line that year where they had two first-round draft picks. One was Anthony Davis out of Rutgers, I believe it was.
Yeah.
And then the other one was the Mikey Potty.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean,
how do,
like,
we remember that?
I don't know.
Shame on both of us.
I mean, you think about that offensive line, like, it's just like that is what Jim Harbaugh wants. He's already got one guy, Rashawn Slater. They've got Jeremy Salyer, the guard. They've got the other guard, I think it's Zion Johnson. And then they've got Trey Pipkins, but they can upgrade at the right tackle spot. Joe Alt is 6'9", 320 pounds, and ready sub-540. Like, this guy is tailor-made for Jim Harbaugh. It just feels like it fits. So I guess if Joe Alt is there at five, I have a hard time seeing Harbs passing on that for Marvin Harrison Jr., even though Marvin Harrison Jr. is amazing.
One team we have not mentioned, one quarterback we have not mentioned, the Chicago Bears and Caleb Williams. We know they're going number one, but their general manager not happy with some of the things said about their team. We'll get to that next on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Unsportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance. At Progressive, they're making things even easier. They'll help you bundle your home and car insurance together so you can save on both. Learn more at progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. We're going to get to the Bears conversation in a second. I just want one question answered by you guys. J.J. McCarthy, in your minds, closer to Drake May and Jaden Daniels or closer to Bo Nix and Michael Penix Jr.?
Oh, the latter. There's no question in my mind it's the latter. Like, I was talking to some people after the scouting combine, and they said J.J. McCarthy has problems throwing outbreaking routes outside of the numbers. Like, that's an issue. Like, the easiest throws for a quarterback are over the middle of the field, but it's like the throws that separate the elite quarterbacks from everybody else are the throws outside of the numbers and the throws that are downfield. Like, that's when accuracy, touch, all of that stuff comes into play. Like, can you make those throws, those longer throws where defense has more time to react to it? Do you have the arm talent? Do you have the accuracy to put it where your receiver can make a play on it and keep it away from the defenders? Like, that's the question that we have with J.J. McCarthy, and he did nothing to alleviate that concern in the pre-draft process to this point. Now, I haven't heard anybody check in from the pro day, but the pro day is on air. Everything is scripted, so I don't know how much stock you can actually put in that. But that would be my concern about J.J. McCarthy at the next level. Can he consistently make the throws outside of the numbers, outbreaking routes on all three levels? I don't know the answer to that. But that is going to tell the tale on whether or not he's going to be the kind of quarterback that you can justify a top five pick with.
If that's the eval on him, but yet he's rising as far as his draft stock is concerned, take me through that, CeCe. Is this evaluator saying this is a problem, but we have the people in-house that can help fix that or help him improve in that?
Yes.
They're more confident in their staff?
There's a tremendous amount of ego when it comes to making these picks, and desperation makes for interesting bedfellows. Like, you talk yourself into things because you need a quarterback, because guess what? If you don't have a quarterback, you're probably not going to have a job, whether you're a general manager, scout, or coach.
Right.
So you're saying, okay, who has the raw materials that we can work with, that we can mold and turn into a guy that can eventually be a difference maker? I think J.J. McCarthy is by far more of a projection than the other three quarterbacks that we anticipate going into the top five.
All right, so we mentioned the Bears at the quarterback spot, right? They're going to draft Caleb Williams. I think we all know that at this point. There doesn't seem to be much variation with that. RG3, Robert Griffin III, said something on Twitter about what he thinks Caleb Williams should do, and it's important to listen to this in order to listen to what Ryan Poles had to say next, the general manager of the Bears. Here's RG3.
Caleb Williams should pull a Eli Manning and demand that the Chicago Bears do not draft him number one overall. After everything that's happened with just Justin Fields, can Caleb Williams really look at that and say, you know what? This is the organization that has my best interest at heart, and they're going to help develop me into the player that I want to become. Caleb Williams is on record saying that he wants to be legendary. He wants to rewrite history, and he wants to be the best that he can possibly be and win the most games he can possibly win. After the Bears took Justin Fields, the 11th pick in the draft, and turned him into a sixth round pick in the 2025 draft by trading him to the Pittsburgh Steelers? Can Caleb Williams really look at that and say, you know what? Yeah, this organization is going to help get me where I want to go. I don't think it's saying that.
All right, so that's RG3. Certainly a declarative statement from RG3.
Yeah, I guess my question is, so you say that you're going to pull an Eli Manning only to be drafted by the Washington Commanders? Like, RG3, you play for the Commanders. You want to give them the benefit of the doubt with developing a franchise quarterback?
It's interesting. That's the point.
Yeah, but still, I mean, you can say
no, but that's the whole thing.
But they're not a proven commodity either.
It's interesting that you would look at Washington as different now, which they are, but not Chicago as different, which they also are. So that follows up with this.
Yeah.
Ryan Poles, the general manager of the Chicago Bears, was on the Pat McAfee show yesterday, and Pat and the crew asked him about those comments.
It pisses me off a little bit, to be honest with you, because we were hired to break a cycle. The same thing when I was in Kansas City. Coach Reed, all of us were brought there to break a cycle, and we did. And no one talks about those days anymore. It's all about what they are right now. So I really believe we're about to break this cycle and get this city in a really good situation and win a lot of games. So the past is the past. Like, I don't worry about that at all. It's about where we're going.
So Ryan Poles, to me, has done a phenomenal job with the Chicago Bears. I actually have extreme faith in this organization right now because of Kevin Warren, the team president, Ryan Poles, the general manager. And based on what CeCe said, the last eight games of the season with Matt Eberflus, the only knock I have on them, they don't have a veteran quarterback along with Caleb Williams, and they haven't extended Matt Eberflus. But I think he's kind of right on everything he said other than grouping himself with Andy Reid in there.
Yeah, that's a big part of what he said. Like you're talking about they brought us in. Like you came in with Andy Reid. Bro, you got there in 2010. Andy Reid got there a full three seasons later. Like, what are you talking about? Like, you weren't a part, of the package with Andy Reid, bro. Like, they inherited you. Good for you. Congratulations. Like, you got to be in proximity to greatness in terms of a coach that knows what he's doing, not only with the X's and O's, but football philosophy and roster construction. Congratulations. Maybe you learned some things in your decades-long tenure being there. That's good. That should bode well for the Chicago Bears moving forward. But the fact of the matter is, this is your second consecutive year with the number one overall pick. And when I hear Dan Orlovsky and all of our ESPN football analysts talk about how good this situation is for a number one pick at quarterback relative to quarterbacks that were taken number one over the past three decades, how this is maybe the best situation aside from Eli Manning that we've seen over the last three decades for a rookie number one overall pick at quarterback, there's got to be pressure in order to make this thing work. Because remember, this is the Carolina Panthers pick. This ain't the Chicago Bears pick. Right. They were a 7-10 team from last year. And they've got the number one pick with a generational talent waiting for them at the quarterback spot this year. A guy that won a Heisman Trophy. A guy that's won at two major programs in college football. If you can't figure out a way to make it work with this dude in terms of developing him properly and having that translate to success relatively early in his tenure as your quarterback, then I think it's on the table for not only Matt Eberflus to get clipped, but Ryan Poles to be fired too. This is a situation that they've got to get right, and there have got to be tangible results in year one.
I'd be stunned if Poles was not there for the long haul. Eberflus is a different story. I really hope they don't fire him after a year, because if that's the case, they should have done it this offseason.
Yeah, give Caleb Williams stability.
I agree with that. I'm all about stability too, but if you are a double-digit loss team yet again this year, a double-digit loss team after having a 7-10 season and your organization having consecutive drafts with the number one overall pick, if that general manager can't figure it out under those circumstances, then he deserves to be fired. Unless we not forget, you had an opportunity to stabilize the head coaching spot this offseason. You decided not to do that. You decided to stay with Matt Eberflus as opposed to going with somebody like Bill Belichick. I don't know if he was interested, but he was out there. You decided to go with him rather than going with somebody like Mike Vrabel, who was also available. You decided to go with Matt Eberflus rather than go with any of those other coaching candidates that could have been hired during this cycle. You decided to do that. Nobody else. If it doesn't work out, then the GM absolutely deserves to be in the crosshairs with the head coach too.
One other message to people. If you don't want a quarterback playing the way Caleb Williams plays because he has a pink phone.
Oh, don't even get me started.
I hope your team loses every game this year.
Don't even get me started.
I don't give a crap if he's got pink nails, pink phone, lip gloss, all the above. That dude can play football that way. Color your hair, your nails, your lips, whatever color it is. Who cares?
I thought we were past this in 2024.
It's blowing up the internet.
I saw.
You know that.
I saw. But I thought we were past this. I thought we have evolved past this. But I guess not.
Now I'm a big Caleb Williams fan.
I am too. I'm rooting for the kid. Because it feels like during the pre-draft process, we try to find everything to tear this dude down.
Oh, my God. Exactly right.
From crying after a loss to watching
a pink phone case. Who cares?
The phone, he colors his nails. Like,
who cares?
None of this stuff matters.
Watch him sling.
Can the guy play football or not?
Yeah, watch him sling a football.
There you go.
I mean, give me a break.
He's proven that he can play football.
Yeah. We're on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
Confirmed.
Confirmed.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do. Big, small, and when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Kimberly A. Martin is here, ESPN NFL reporter, and she's not happy.
Not happy.
What happened?
So imagine my surprise when I'm sitting there in hair and makeup, and I see that I've been tagged in a tweet. Cute. Okay, Unsportsmanlike, because I'm about to go on the show. Then it's Unsportsmanlike's personality draft. Top three people we would like to take along to opening day. Naturally, I'm scrolling for my name. Which one of my pals has picked me? Right. Oh, only one. Evan.
Well, only one of us could pick you, though.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, he took you off the board, Kmart.
Yeah, once you drafted, you can't. Like, I can't.
But
why
did you pick Hembo above me?
She doesn't have any umbrage with my picks.
Here's what happened. Because Hembo loves baseball. And
I guess. Christopher didn't realize that I covered baseball, that I've spent many a time in the Yankees and Mets clubhouse, that I've been on the road covering playoff games, that I remember like Joe Torre and Joe Girardi as managers, that I was there when Jorge Posada was in the clubhouse. But it's fine. It's fine. I don't know enough about baseball. I'm not fun, I guess.
Kmart,
I have awesome snacks, as we've discussed. Awesome snacks.
Yes, awesome snacks. So you would appreciate all of the eats at the ballpark. Look, nobody is saying you wouldn't be great to go to opening day with. What I am saying is we've all picked you in the past for our personality draft. I've never picked Hembo. I think he's only been picked by one of us.
But it's Hembo.
But that's my point, though. He's one of our teammates. I didn't want him to feel left out, which is why I felt like this was a natural opportunity to include him.
Hey,
this is me being a good teammate.
No, it sounds like a participation trophy. And the Hembo that I know, he wouldn't want to be picked like that. He would want to be picked on merit.
Well, he's not going to get a trophy unless it's a participation trophy. We're talking about Hembo. How the hell is he going to get a trophy?
He played college baseball.
Oh,
no joke.
Wow. Did he?
No, I don't know the name of the college.
He might have been on the team.
I don't know the name of the college. Wow. Wow.
I'm just saying.
Do you know what position he played?
Uh-huh. I have no idea.
Bench warmer. That's the position.
In my head, second base. He feels like a second, right? If you had to guess, he feels like a second baseman.
He actually feels like a catcher to me. Like the way he thinks the game.
I can see
him being a catcher.
That's fair.
Yeah.
I just can't see his little legs kind of holding.
It's a great point.
I can see him being like a specialist, like a middle reliever guy.
Yeah, defensive replacement.
Or you just put him on the
That never gets in the game.
Yeah. Hembo's out there like listening, like ready to just end it. It's terrible.
But Kmart, can you take a little solace in the fact that we could draft you for any draft, knowing that we could hang out with you in a multitude of scenarios?
Excuses.
This was Hembo's time to shine.
Always. I can't even get into all of this, but we had a conversation the other day in the green room that we were laughing and talking about things, and there were other people around like, what is wrong with you people?
Yeah.
And so that's why I took you, because I got to be honest. At opening day, I don't care about the baseball. I care about having fun with the people I'm with, and that's why I chose Kmart. Because if we want to talk baseball, great. If we want to talk boy bands, great.
We're there.
We can do it all. Very versatile conversation.
Very versatile.
With Hembo, you're only talking about OPS.
You are talking inside the – like, oh, look at Hembo!
there. I need
he is not getting in the game. Yeah, you see that dude? He is not getting in the game.
Second base vibes for real.
But he is not
he played
in
second
the
base.
Game.
I was right about
yeah,
this.
Yeah, definitely second base.
Man,
vibes.
Off of that picture, he ain't getting in the
at
game.
Cedarville, cause. Second base.
Oh, Cedarville.
I can't trust a face like that to actually play. Nah. Hey, GPA booster. That's why he on the team, cuz. GPA booster.
Are there those?
Yeah, oh, yeah, of course.
Wow.
Come on. All right, maybe not now.
A couple of NFL things, I guess.
Yes.
How many quarterbacks do you expect to be drafted in the top five?
Caleb, Drake May, and JJ. Yeah, I would think – I wouldn't be surprised if we saw four or five. Because when you think about a team like the Patriots, a team like the Giants, obviously they're kind of out of the five. But I think you've got – teams like the Patriots that need a quarterback. I personally would want to see them go after a quarterback. I think their owner wants them to go after a quarterback. And then you've got the Vikings, a team that could get into the five with a trade. I think you have a lot of QB needy teams, which is why I could see them fly off the board, which is great if you're a team in that 7 to 10, 15 window where you're like, oh, Marvin Harrison, come to me. Or you want some, you know what I mean, a different type of wide receiver or tight end or offensive lineman. I think there are enough quality quarterbacks and enough teams with need where we could see five.
K-Mart, I think it's a fait accompli that the Minnesota Vikings are going to move up into the top five with the move they made a couple of weeks ago to acquire additional first-round draft pick. Now, are they moving to four or are they moving to three?
I think they, if they can move to three, I think they would probably love it, right? But when you think about the draft order, like I see them at four. Like the Cardinals, the Chargers, to me, are the teams where it's like they're set at QB. The Patriots might decide, you know what, we'll ride it out with the dude. We've got Jacoby. We'll ride it out with him. Stockpile, like, fill up this roster with people so that the next time we get a quarterback, like, we're in a position to get a quarterback, we can just hit the ground running. My only fear is that if you need a quarterback and you pass on a quarterback, you just don't know the next time you'll be in the top five, the top three, like, unless you're the Bears where you can be at one back-to-back years.
We were just talking about the Bears, Kmart, and Ryan Poles was saying that he was a little upset about some of the comments that were made by RG3.
Saying stuff, Robert, yes.
But do you think that we should give the Bears the benefit of the doubt in this situation with Caleb Williams?
No. No, honestly. I love what Ryan Poles said about the comments, the RG3's comments. Like, perfect response. At the same time, the Bears have shown us nothing as an organization that should give us confidence that they know what they're doing. They had Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy draft Justin Fields, knowing that those two guys were on the hot seat. And now you have Matt Eberflus, a guy who a lot of people thought should be fired, now here, and you're wondering, is he going to survive? And now you put Caleb in a situation, or whoever they draft, in a situation where he might have to get to know another head coach, another system. So I like Ryan Poles. Ryan Poles is like, look, let us show you that we can do it, but they haven't shown us. So
how much pressure is on Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus in year one with Caleb Williams? Because they were a 7-10 team last year.
Yes.
And 7-10 teams typically don't have the number one overall pick.
They do not.
And teams usually don't have the number one overall pick in consecutive drafts. So how much pressure is on those two to actually have some substance in the way of winning in Caleb's rookie season?
I barely sleep at night in general. If I'm Ryan Poles, I would never sleep. Because back-to-back years, you have the number one pick. And in this situation, he's got a hit on it. On top of the fact that he let Justin go for a six, essentially, at a point where a lot of people thought they would fetch a second-round pick for him. So not just the draft compensation, you lose out on Justin, but you're thinking, okay, Caleb's going to be the guy. If you guys don't develop him and put good pieces around him, which they've started to do, like, they're in a world of trouble. And Matt Eberflus, like I said, a guy that many people thought, like, he literally fired his entire offensive coaching staff. The guys that you hired last year weren't good enough. So now you brought in new guys. Now that staff has to be on the same page. And I say this about Bryce Young. It wasn't just talent. It's not talent that's his issue. That coaching staff in Carolina that we thought was going to be so great, a fertile ground for Bryce Young to grow, they were not all on the same page. Frank Reich was not on the same page as how to build up this guy, put him in a situation to succeed. So the Bears have a lot to prove when it comes to Caleb.
We're talking with Kimberly A. Martin, of course, ESPN NFL reporter. What's going on with Dak and the Cowboys contract right now?
Girl, I don't know. Listen. It seems very obvious to me, like we knew last year, coming into this offseason, they would have to figure out something with Dak. Got to extend him. Got to bring that cap number down. They got to take care of CeeDee. Got to take care of Micah. I think at this point, I see Dak in a Cowboys uniform beyond this year only if he wins a Super Bowl. Like, it just is. Oh. It's like... Like, to me, it's almost like you would never see Josh Allen in this situation. You would never see any quarterback in this situation. And you've got Mike McCarthy, who's a guy, is he going to be the coach next year? I don't know. Jerry's 80-something years old, and he's just sort of like, you know, we'll see what happens. I would not take this approach with a quarterback that I believe is my guy. So that just leaves me to think, okay, y'all aren't sure. And Jerry has said, hey, we'll go as far as Dak wants to take us. Well, okay, you guys win 13 games every single regular season, right? And that's not enough. Is it Dak's fault? Is it the coach's fault? I don't know. Talk to me, former Cowboys.
No, I got to ask you a question, because you can't just open that door and not expect me to walk through it. Like, you're saying that if they don't win a Super Bowl, that means that Dak Prescott probably will be in a different uniform in 2025. I'm curious, will that be Dak's choice or will that be the Cowboys' choice by virtue of not wanting to pay him?
Okay, we've all dealt with negotiations, right?
Sure.
I love you, but you're great. However, you button however me a few more times, like, I will want to go. Mm-hmm. Like, I think Dak Prescott, he deserves a Kirk Cousin experience. Because you want to talk about Dak hasn't won anything? What is Kirk? Love Kirk, by the way. Kirk O' Chains, Cole's Kirk. I love it. But what has Kirk Cousins won? In all seriousness.
Okay. The bank.
But he was eight, right. Because his agent, phenomenal. Hey, Mike McCarthy. But Kirk got, the Jets were ready to move heaven and earth to get him. He used them as leverage to get his guaranteed deal with the Vikings. The Vikings are like, I don't know. He's like, all right, cool. He was the belle of the ball this offseason. So, and he hasn't won anything. Dak needs that, because I don't understand why we act like Dak is this terrible quarterback.
And also, if I'm Dak, I've bet on myself before. It's paid off. Kirk Cousins hasn't won more than me. He's not a better quarterback than me. He's older than me, and he's coming off a big injury, and he's still secured the bag.
Exactly.
So this is why I don't understand the Cowboys' position on this, because Dak is going to have suitors. Mm-hmm. He's going to get his money, and Jerry Jones came out and said, there are quarterbacks in this league who haven't won a Super Bowl that are capable of it. Dak is one of them. I'm firm on it. Mm-hmm. So if you believe he can win you a Super Bowl, and you know you're not in a better position, and he's going to get paid elsewhere, then mm-hmm. why wait?
Mm-hmm. Your question... Honestly, text Dallas, because I've been waiting for the same.
All right, Kmart's going to be on Get Up and First Take, and as NSYNC says, bye, bye, bye. But first, CeCe has this from Vivid Seats.
Yes, secure the seats and the memories this year from Vivid Seats. Your home for every dunk, every slap shot, every stolen base. Vivid Seats celebrates fandom with unbeatable rewards like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. With Vivid Seats rewards, you earn with every purchase, from buzzer beaters to walk-off home runs. Vivid Seats has a great selection and great prices on all the games that matter to you. Just visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats, the official ticketing partner of ESPN.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Each and every day at this time, we head to Vegas East, a.k.a. the Charmed Watch Party, with all of the producers watching Charmed every single morning while our show is on the air and Pat Costello gives us items in the world of sports entertainment in his life that he's over.
Yeah, Charmed, sponsor the show.
I think they are, basically, with the amount of time you've given them.
Pretty much. Yeah. As a follow-up to yesterday on the food situation at MLB stadiums,
yeah.
If I'm sitting in my seat and someone comes up with like a 12-piece wing plate I might have to fight them. Because I can't think of anything I'd want to do less than sit next to someone eating a full plate of wings at a game. The Yankees have been tweeting out some of their stuff, and they had this big hullabaloo around their wings. That's horrifying. I can't think of a worse stadium food than chicken wings.
Why, though?
Because it's so messy.
Yeah, it might be messy, but I mean, listen,
it's
about...
a tight seat. I don't, like, we're
all
sitting next to each other.
All stadium foods are
messy. Yeah, no, they're not.
Oh, my gosh. The best thing at Busch Stadium are the pulled pork nachos that you get, and I think it's around, like, 105, right behind home plate. Those things are messy. You get a fork, you get many napkins, but it's the best thing you're going to eat at the ballpark.
Yeah, I mean, wings are no messier than that.
Yeah, not at all.
And just here's the thing: wings go along with watching sports.
That's right.
So it's awesome.
Not at the stadium.
Why not?
That's insane. It's so because I don't want to sit there as you're covered in buffalo sauce.
Okay, but people are getting ice cream that's melting on a hot day at the ballpark. A hot dog, fries.
Yeah, hot dog.
There's condiments that could get all over you. I mean, the whole point is to get something. It happens all the time.
No, it doesn't.
I bet all the time people are getting ketchup and mustard on
their
shirt.
I went to the Yankees Twitter to see this. It's Marcus Samuelson who made these wings. Marcus Samuelson's one of the best chefs and restaurateurs in the world.
Outstanding. Yeah, he's great.
Marcus Samuelson?
Oh, come on,
that
Pat.
Cannot be a famous person. I've never heard of Marcus.
He's been on Top Chef. All Food Network.
Nuno and Javante both reacted the same way.
He's legitimately one of the best chefs / restaurateurs in the world.
Does he have...
I love his restaurant, Red Rooster, down in Harlem.
In Harlem. Right.
It's awesome.
Right by the Apollo.
I was just going to ask that.
It's awesome.
I was going to ask what his restaurant was. Red Rooster. Definitely heard of it.
Yeah, amongst others.
Yeah, that's fine. He's not cooking them in the bottom of the seven.
Understood, but he's over... It's his name on it.
It's his recipe.
Yeah, they're good.
That doesn't matter.
Yes, it does.
What are you talking about?
They're mass-produced at a stadium.
Let me tell you something. Guy Fieri has all of his chicken restaurants or whatever it is. He has whatever the special sauce is, whatever his secret ingredients are. I've had this. Unbelievable chicken sandwiches.
I'm trying to get this right, Pat. Because it's a recipe and it's mass produced, it means it can't be good?
Not at a baseball stadium.
Well, hold on, but it could be good at a fast food chain? Like it could be good at another restaurant?
Yeah.
Are you
the
Pat,
standards are going to be different.
Pat, are you anti-chicken fingers at the ballpark?
Nah.
Have you
but
been
why
to
are we anti-chicken wings then?
It's basically less messy.
But it's a deconstructed wing. You have to take the chicken and dip it in the sauce. The wing is already slathered in the sauce. It's the same thing, basically.
I think this is just Pat's Yankees bias. He hates the Yankees, but I mean, the food at Yankee Stadium is outstanding.
And like $97.
I'm going to go.
The food is really good. Like, of all of the things at the new ballpark in comparison to the old Yankee Stadium, like, the food is the one thing that they got right. Of all the other things they did wrong with building the new Yankee Stadium, the food is actually one of the things they got right. Now, they're going to charge you an arm and a leg for it. They're going to cost you an arm and a leg to get a wing. But, hey, somehow the math. But here's the thing. Like the food is actually good. So, somebody having wings, how are you going to knock them for that?
You know what I'm not going to do? Police what people eat at the ballpark.
That part.
You know what? You paid money to be here. You probably paid $30-$40 for those wings. You enjoy them.
What's going to be a higher number this year? The money you spend on food at Yankee Stadium or the number of wins they have?
The amount of money you spend at the stadium, for sure.
Yeah. 1,000%.
I haven't been to Yankee Stadium as a fan. It's on my bucket list for 2024.
It's not a bucket list item. Old one, maybe.
Living in New York City, I have to go to a Yankee game.
Yeah, no, you have to do that. You got to check the box.
I've got to check the box.
It's not like Wrigley or Lambeau or something like that.
It's on my personal list because I've been to Citi Field, which was great.
Citi Field is awesome.
It was great.
Citi Field is awesome.
They have great snacks at Citi Field.
They have great food there, too, yeah.
Why does a hot dog at Yankee Stadium cost $6, but I can get one at Costco for $150? And the prices are the same to get into either.
It's only $6?
That's actually surprising.
That's actually cheap.
I was going to say $12.
How is that cheap?
For what I personally assumed the prices would be.
Correct.
Well, Pat is still operating under the Phillies where they have the dollar dogs. Yeah, exactly.
Not anymore.
See, Pat, there's a theory I know that you and Nuno have that actually works better in this. Which is the idea of when you have non-easy-to-eat food at the ballpark and you have to slide through the aisle and people have to pick it up, that's a little bit harder because it could spill on you. You're giving me a look, Smalls.
No.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if you have a hot dog, somebody sliding through, that's easy. You stand up. Hot dog and a drink, whatever. If you have wings, if you have something else, it's a little harder to maneuver to get by. I thought that was part of this argument, wasn't it?
That's definitely, it all goes into it. Like, the whole experience of having to sit next to someone eating a very messy food is incredibly annoying at a stadium.
Well, I'm not at high tea, I'm at a baseball game. Exactly. It doesn't matter if I get
spill
stuff
something on my jersey, it's okay, I'm just going to get a free beer out of
That's
it.
If
right.
you're spilling stuff all over the place, it matters to me quite a bit. I don't want to be stepping on your wings.
Michelle Smallman, probably the only person I know that could be at high tea or a baseball game.
That's
trust,
right.
Trust me, it's if you live layers. In New York City, you're stepping over much worse
That's right.
than wings. It's New York City.
I just assume that someone's going to spill a beer, is going to get on my
exactly,
shoes.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we're sitting outside, we're sweating.
Get over yourself, like, Pat. Get over yourself with that one. And that said, what you got? What else we got?
Nuno's mad about something at a gas station.
Oh, gosh.
And this goes back to what Michelle said in the beginning of the show, that there should be a positive tax on people who are nice and actually do things in the society. I can't stand, I'm over, you work in a customer service industry. After I check out and I say thank you, have a nice day, your response should be you're welcome or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Don't just sit there and not respond because I look like a what, like... So I know you hate your job. Go get another job. Go do something else.
Reciprocating
kindness. Don't work in customer service.
Nuno, are you wearing a muscle shirt today?
My polo shirt looks
flexing a little bit.
He did say
that looks like a muscle shirt.
He said 2 minutes ago, "Oh boy, my arms look great right now."
Yeah, I mean, I thought Nuno only spoke just because of the muscles.
Honestly, he pulled the sleeve up a little bit too to show off what he's wearing.
That's a Phil Mickelson shirt. That's a Phil Mickelson special. It's like it's two sizes too small to try to make you look buff.
Hey, he's putting
his arms look good though. That's what I was saying. I was looking at it on ESPN too.
Why are you hating, Canty?
I'm not hating.
We don't have any beef, but you trying to start some beef now?
No, I'm not trying to start beef. I could just recognize that the shirt might be a little smaller than it actually should be.
Hey, now we have Muno, muscle shirt Nuno.
I mean, he must not be getting no circulation in his hand with the way that sleeve is cutting off his arm.
If you got to flaunt it. He's earned that shirt.
Okay. If you
muscle
say so.
Muscle shirt Nuno.
I feel like he deserves better. You say he earned that shirt, he deserves better.
All right, Kansas.
I like that shirt.
Just saying.
It's a Schmedium for sure.
Schmedium
for sure.
Presented by
Phil Mickelson special.
Schmedium.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.